It's 7:37. You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve, and it's time to talk to Brad Graber, our financial planner from investingintruth.com. And today we're going to talk about stewardship in the church for both pastors and those of us who are sitting in the pews. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Kelly.
It's good to talk to you today. Gorgeous day out there. Hope you can get out and enjoy it and not sit at the desk all day and work on money stuff. But if you are, I'm going to drop off my checkbook because, man, I need some help.
I'll do what I can.
Okay.
She's going to ask you to put some in there. Be careful. Be careful.
Hey, Brad, as we talk about just dealing with finances and things in the church, you know, it's probably been, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years ago, it finally occurred to me after all of these years of sitting in church and being a Christ follower. I don't know what made it click, but I remember sitting in church on a Sunday morning and looking at my pastor, and they were taking up the morning offering, and it just hit me. This money is going somewhere, and part of it is surely going to help support my pastor and his family. And goodness sakes, I need to take care of them. But they've got a lot that they take care of, too, so we're going to kind of look at both sides. What are some of the expenses that a pastor might have to deal with when it comes to operating a church, things that we in the membership might not necessarily be aware of?
Yeah, well, you hit one of the big ones, which is making sure that we're taking care of the pastor. So that's one of the big obligations that Scripture gives us, is making sure that we're providing for and taking care of those who are giving their lives in the ministry and in the sharing of the gospel. So that's obviously one cost. But anytime you have a brick and mortar, as we would call it, type of business like that, or type of ministry, there's going to be a lot of ongoing expenses that sometimes people think, well, we would rather it all be going towards the outreach, and they don't like to see things going towards utilities, keeping of the ground, so mowing the yard or clearing off snow when it's winter time. You know, there's a lot of expenses like that, insurance and technology in the office and things like that that money has to go to. But we have to remember too that the church has a very unique ministry. And we're positioned in a community, number one, so we have that outreach to that community around us. But the church has the unique responsibility, too, of shepherding the members of that church. And I think that's just such a unique role, and it requires this type of building and this type of structure that brings along those other costs. So I have a problem when people sometimes like to say, well, I would rather give to this or that because this percentage goes to ministry and doesn't go to these kind of overhead costs. I think that's kind of unfair to the local church, and we're kind of dismissing the role that the local church does play.
Well, Brad, you know, when it comes to leadership in the church, how, I love this phrase that Kelly used earlier, but how does leadership balance the dreams for ministry and the reality of that budget to make sure that they're honoring God?
Yeah, and I think this is a big process of trying to figure out what is the vision of this ministry, where are we trying to go, and I love it. I love to hear visionaries talk about what are those dreams of what we're wanting to do. I think it obviously starts with prayer and searching of the Scripture, making sure that the ministry is being focused and letting God do the leading. But then the next step is kind of that biblical decision-making process of making sure that we're affirming that. Let other people speak wisdom into this so we get that wise counsel. It's not just one person inside of a church that has the vision. It's other people coming around them and affirming that that's, you know, the right direction for this ministry. And then once we have that affirmation, we know that, okay, this is a ministry that we feel God really wants us to pursue, and we should do that. It's been affirmed. Then you have to kind of step back into that reality of, okay, what are my resources that I have to now pursue this ministry? So that's where you start counting the costs, you start looking at the financial situation, and you figure out what is my best avenue now to pursue this ministry. And just because funds are tight doesn't mean you can't pursue it. There's a lot of different ways that you can start pursuing a specific ministry and do it in ways that aren't real capital intensive. But if you do have lots of resources that are able to be poured into it, that is something that obviously can be done then over time, and hopefully you can speed up the reach of that ministry. But even if funds are tight, as you start working towards that ministry, you start sharing the vision, you start building partnerships, hopefully more funds are even able to come in from that point forward. You just don't want to overcommit yourself, so it's not something where you want to start indebting yourself or presuming upon God's provision for it. You got to work in reality as well, so there's a balancing act that needs to take place.
Well, and part of the responsibility for effective ministry is going to fall on membership too, Brad. We know we can't put all of that on our pastor's shoulders. We talk about wanting churches that grow, and then sometimes, and I'm not indicting anybody, but this does happen. We sit back and wait for the pastor to do that. Oh, that's a great idea. You go ahead and do that, you know. But part of our responsibility in that as membership is giving, yet sometimes we struggle with that. So if you would share a little bit about how giving can create the unity that God wants in his church.
That's one of the aspects of giving to the local church that I love the most, is the unity that it can create. And it's a simple application of Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When we can all unite behind the ministries of the local church and we all give toward it, when we do our giving, our hearts will automatically align as a result of that giving with whatever ministries that church is supporting. We'll find that our time and our efforts, we want to actually put behind the money, and that's what's starting to then bring that unity in the church. So you even think about it. If everybody in the church is supporting some ministry of their own that's outside of the church, that the church has nothing to do with, then it's all like we're gathering in one building and facing outward. And when we can all support the same ministries that are being done inside the church, we're all giving towards those same ministries, we're all volunteering our time serving those same ministries, now we're all facing inward, we're spending more time in community together, and it's just natural that unity inside the local body will be a byproduct of that type of giving and that type of ministry.
Well, you know, Brad, Hebrews 10:24 says that we are to consider how to stir up one another to love and to do good works. So how is our giving going to stir someone else in the church?
As I think about that, just consider if you've ever been on a mission trip before, and you go and you serve together with other people, and you spend that time together in ministry. When you're there and when you come home, just think of how stirred up you are to want to serve and to want to serve with those people. And I think that's the same application we have inside the local church. As we spend time together, as we give, as we serve, as we support these, you know, the same ministries, the same missionaries, whatever it may be, as we're spending that time together, as we see other people being generous in the ways that they're doing service or maybe in the way that they're giving towards this ministry, it does just stir us up. And it may not be trying to do exactly what they're doing, but in our own unique way, we start examining our own gifts and talents and abilities and resources that we have and we're basically being challenged by other people's generosity to figure out, how can I do more with what I have? And that's what we're called to do.
Well, Brad, we've got time for just about one more quick question, and I do want to make sure that we ask this one because I don't want to get into the debate over whether we, you know, give what we have said in our hearts to give because God loves a cheerful giver, or if we just flat out tithe. I don't want to get into that argument this morning. But what I would like for you to share with our listening family is how to make sure, as we look at our own budgets, how do we carve out that opportunity for giving in our budgets? Because I know that some folks, they're probably a little financially strapped. Others may have more to give right now than some. Where do we start by making sure that we're giving something to the local church?
My starting point is always consistency. Let's build a habit of giving, and let's make it regular. So as we receive, I like to teach that we should give. So if you get paid twice a month, once a month, whatever it may be, I would tell you to start by building the habit of giving. I don't care if it's $5 per pay, $10, $20, whatever makes sense to you as a starting point. Start by building the frequency and that habit of giving. Then from that point, we need to start building that eternal perspective in the way that we're handling our money. And that means it's not about looking at it as, how can I use this money for the things that I want? We start looking at it from, we're just traveling through this world, and this is not our eternal home. So if we start looking at Scripture and seeing what Scripture says about how we should be using it to glorify God, how we should be using it for eternal purposes to bring more people into salvation, as we start doing that, then it starts to change what our focus is on our budget. It's not about what we want. It's about, okay, I need to provide for my family today, so I have a certain amount I have to spend for that. I need to provide for my family in the future as well, so I need to be setting a little bit aside for that. Beyond that, we should have that desire if we're aligned with God and our hearts are aligned with Christ, we should have that desire to want to share the gospel with other people, to want to be investing that money for eternity. And just as we get to know God better, as we know Scripture better, that should just be a natural transformation of our heart. And that would be my challenge to people, is to understand what it means to be a steward. That means God owns it all, and we're just managing it for Him. And as a manager of His resources in this temporary world, that means that we just need to carve off what we need for today, what we need for tomorrow, and then the rest needs to be used as an investment in eternity. And there's no better purpose than that. And when our heart truly understands that, I think our budget will just naturally transform as well to reflect it.
Yeah, I remember when that finally really hit home for me. God owns it all. What I have is still His. He's trusting me to manage it, and I need to manage it well. Brad, it is always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for spending time with us. This has been encouraging and enlightening.
Always good to be with you guys.